guys are awesome. You're so encouraging. Brian, I love your announcements. It's partly entertaining and partly informative, so good job with that. And does anybody else like Elvis, or is it just me and Casey? Anybody? Okay, so on the way over here, I was listening to Elvis Presley. Yeah, just because it's awesome, and he's awesome. But Casey, I don't know if you're in here. Yeah, you're in here. You know, when you sing in a high register like that, you sound just like the 1950s Elvis. You ain't nothing but a hound dog. So it's really good, man. That's great. I know that sinks deep into your heart, and it should, brother, because it's amazing. Good job leading us tonight. If you don't know me, I'm one of the pastors at The Rock Church. I'm usually at the Salt Lake City location. Tonight, we're going to continue on in our series. We're actually starting 2 Thessalonians tonight. I'm kind of introducing the book. The series is called Standing Firm, and tonight I'm teaching through 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's see if this thing works. Is it not working, or I have to turn it on probably? Huh. No, yep, here we go. Turn it on. So 2 Thessalonians chapter, thanks, 1, verses 1 through 4. I've entitled the talk Grace, Peace, and Love. I'm excited to introduce this book for you guys this evening. I'm also eager to share some news with you guys as a church family that's happening with our church that positions all of us, no matter what location you are in a position of faith. Tonight, a lot of what I'm going to be sharing, the majority of what I'm going to be sharing tonight involves our Salt Lake City location, but I think the timing of these verses is incredible. I think God is moving in our church. I think he's handpicked these verses we're going to go through this evening. So even though you may not be a part of the Salt Lake City location anymore, this church was planted from that location. If you're new tonight, this is just good news for you to be a part of, so you guys to know what's happening as a family. So with all of that said, let me go ahead and pray, and we're going to get into it here. Lord, I thank you that your love made us free. That is absolutely true. I thank you for Casey leading us in worship. I thank you for handpicking each person here tonight to be here, that you are going to speak to them, Lord, through the power of your word, through the power of your Holy Spirit, and through me, God, as one of your vessels in this church. I'm eager to share with them what you've been doing in our churches. I'm eager to share with them through your word. I pray, Lord, that you would bless this time. I say these things in your name. Amen. So before I do the family stuff, I want to kick off the first couple of verses of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let me give you guys just a little bit of background. You're probably already familiar with this. We've been going through 1 Thessalonians for the last month or so, but if you're kicking off with us tonight, here's some background. Thessalonica was a city. It was the capital of the Roman province of Macedonia. It had a population of about 100,000 people. It was a flourishing center of trade. It had philosophy. It was a free city. It was governed by local officials. There was lots of cults that were happening in the city of Thessalonica at this time. There were Egyptian cults. There were imperial cults. There were pantheon cults. There was a sizable population of Jewish people in Thessalonica as well. This letter that we're going to kick off this evening, 2 Thessalonians, was probably written from the city of Corinth about 49 years after Jesus rose from the dead. And it's about a month, maybe a couple of weeks, maybe a month or so since 1 Thessalonians was written to the church. It was written by Paul and Silas and Timothy, and they're still together as a ministry team when they're writing 2 Thessalonians to this church. And like 1 Thessalonians, the theme of 2 Thessalonians is much the same. It's about the second coming of Jesus. The Thessalonian church had accepted this false claim, this untruth claim, that the day of the Lord had come, talking about the second coming of Christ. And they were believing this, and as a result, they were freaking out. They were shaken. They were frightened. The Thessalonians were also undergoing intense persecution and hardship and suffering, and it added to their confusion about the end times, about whether or not Jesus had already come or when he was coming. And Paul and Silas and Timothy, knowing that and seeing that, needed to encourage the church. And that's what this letter is. The church also was probably facing some laziness as well. People were refusing to work. Christians were exploiting wealthier Christians and their generosity to avoid going to work. So Paul wrote 2 Thessalonians for three major reasons. One, he wanted to reassure them and give them confidence concerning the end times, or the second coming of the Lord, or the day of the Lord, the end times. Two, he wanted to strengthen this church in the face of persecution and hardship and suffering, so he wanted to encourage them. And then three, he wanted to deal with some of the laziness that was happening inside of the church as well, with those that were refusing to earn their own living. So with that said, that kind of back up or history, let's get into it here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1.
Verse 1, it says, this letter is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. We are writing to the church in Thessalonica, which is a city, to you who belong to God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He says this, may God our Father, speaking to the church, and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. And so just a couple of weeks have passed. Paul, Silas, Timothy, they're still together. They're a ministry team from the city of Corinth. They're writing to the Christians in the city of Thessalonica. And the first thing that they desire for them as believers, as Christians, is grace and peace. He doesn't say, I wish you were really big. He doesn't say, I wish that you were famous. He doesn't say, I wish that you were rich. He doesn't say, I wish that you had pleasure. What he asks for the church, what he wants the church to have, is grace and peace. And so Paul understood, which means we should understand, that grace provides the enablement, in other words, the doing, the ability, grace provides the ability to do everything within the will of God. It's God's grace that gives us strength. It's God's grace that gives us hope. It's God's grace that gives us freedom. It's God's grace that gives us salvation. It's God's grace that's working inside of the Christian to accomplish the will of God. And peace then gives serenity in every circumstance. So the Apostle Paul is saying, I want you to know the grace, the strength, the freedom, the salvation of Jesus, and therefore have peace. And I appreciate the wording here. The thread of words here, because it's true, guys. It's not set up on accident here, the order of these words. It's true that we have to, as Christians, know God's grace before we can experience His peace. That's just the way it goes. We don't have peace without knowing God's grace. And so God's grace enables us to have peace. God's grace strengthens us, encourages us, frees us, releases us from sin, encourages us to move forward in His will, and gives us His peace. And they come from God the Father and Jesus the Son. So the Apostle Paul is saying, this is what I want for you as a church. Grace and peace. And tonight, like I said, this is the family meeting. And I think these verses are incredibly timely for us as a church concerning our future. And I say that because as I get to, in the next few minutes, share the family news with you of what's happening in one of our locations as a church, what I want for you guys, even if you're not in the Salt Lake City location per se, I want you guys as a body of believers, a part of the Rock Church, to experience God's grace for yourself, His strength and His peace. I want you to extend grace to one another. I want you to extend grace to your pastors. And it is my utmost desire that you would then experience the peace of Christ. These words are important for us tonight. I want you to know, church, about God's grace. I want you to know about His peace. And those things are gifts from the Father and the Son. And as a church, we need to hear that tonight as well. And we'll get into that in a second. Paul says this, dear brothers and sisters, church, we can't help but thank God for you because your faith is flourishing and your love for one another is growing. Again, I so appreciate... Do you mind turning this mic down just a hair, brother? I'm sorry. I might get screaming. I don't want to scream at you guys. I usually scream a little. So, your faith is flourishing and your love for one another is growing. And I appreciate the Apostle Paul's words here again through the Holy Spirit, because what he's saying is, we can't help but thank God for you, church, because of your faith. It's flourishing and your love for one another is growing. He's saying this, I thank God because your faith in Him is growing. And as a result of your growing faith in Him, it's resulting in greater love for one another. Again, these are timely words for us. First comes faith, then comes love. First comes grace, then comes peace. First comes faith, then comes love. There's a quote here from this guy who's got an awesome beard like Andrew, which is awesome. Could put a picture of Andrew up here tonight. I love you, brother. Faith puts us in contact. By the way, when I was doing my PowerPoint, whoever did the PowerPoint had a picture of Will Smith here.
This guy's equally awesome. Anyway, faith puts us in contact with the eternal spring of love in God himself. And the necessary consequence or the fruit of that faith is that our hearts are drawn out in love to those who belong to him. We have faith, it connects us to love. We have grace, it connects us to peace. And I've noticed this is true in my own life. And again, there's great wonder and miracles in the threading of the words. When we know God's grace, we experience his peace. When we trust in him, when we have faith in him, when we put our trust in his plan, and our faith is in him, we love each other. That is a beautiful thread. We put our faith in him, and we love one another. And for me, the truth is whenever I've been the most explosive in my life with my temper, or the edgiest I've been, or the rudest that I have been, it's been when I haven't placed my faith or my trust in God's grace or his plan. And it results then in a lack of my peace and a harshness towards God's people, and especially the ones closest to me. Your pastor, Josh Whitney, has gone through some stuff with me when I've been out of the Spirit, and my wife and my kids and some of you. It's when I haven't had faith in the Lord or known his grace and known his peace, then I don't have faith and I don't grow in love, and so I'm harsh and yucky. That is true. But when I have trusted God's grace, when I have put my faith in his plan and walked in his peace and grown in that faith, I have grown in love. And so a question that we have for us tonight is this: where can you noticeably grow? Because all of us need to grow. Maybe you need to grow in your understanding of God's grace in your life. Maybe you're not a Christian yet and you need to know the saving grace of Christ. Maybe you already are a Christian and you need to grow in your understanding of how gracious he really is and how kind and merciful and loving he really is towards you as his child. Maybe you need to grow in that grace. Maybe you need to allow your heart then to be peace-filled. Maybe you need to grow in your faith. Maybe you need to grow in your love, but where is it that you can noticeably grow? All of us can grow in all of those areas, but where is it? I need to grow in my understanding of God's grace and his strength and his peace and his freedom and his faith and love. These things have been incredibly dear to me over the past several weeks because God is gracious and he does give peace, and faith results in love. It's like a blanket. It really feels like that in my life, maybe for the first time, really. It's like a cloak. When we're covered in God's grace and his kindness and his tenderness and his mercy, we are peace-filled, faith-filled, and love-filled. And that's real. The thread of words is incredibly important. That we would know his grace starts there. Apostle Paul says this: we proudly tell God's other churches. Think about this. It's kind of like me tonight, talking about one of our other churches to you. We proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance, your faithfulness in persecution and hardship and suffering. God's word is timely for us. He always reveals truth at the right time. I think that's true tonight. Paul tells the church, you are persecuted. At times you're disoriented. Your faithfulness, your endurance in persecution, in your hardship, in your suffering. What he says here is, church, when that is happening to you, the way that you have responded has resulted in us boasting about you to other churches. When we see how you are doing this with your grace and your peace and your faith and your love and how you are enduring suffering and hardship and change, it makes me boast about you. And so what I think about is that we need to realize this. As Christians, there are times of suffering in a church. Not just as a Christian, but in a church. Because he's talking about the church here. There are times for endurance as a church. There are hardships that face the church. Not just the Christian, but the church. And what he's saying here is, when this happens, we have an opportunity for faith. That's what's happening in Thessalonica. We are boasting about how you're handling the changes, your suffering, your endurance gives us a reason
to celebrate you to the other churches. It gives us a cause to be thankful. You're an example to other Christians. It's like he's saying, guys, listen, as a church, it is true that it is hard. It is true that there is suffering. It is true that you are enduring, but your faith, it just makes us boast about you. And we're thankful because of you. And tonight, guys, I really believe as I'm doing kind of a family meeting, these verses can speak to us as a body through this weekend and the next couple months in an unbelievably real way. And I absolutely believe that as Christians in the Rock Church tonight, you guys have an opportunity to do a couple of things. One, I think you guys have an opportunity to walk in God's complete and perfect and satisfying grace as his dearly loved child. This should be your first response. God extends grace, he gives grace, and he wants you to know his grace. And so tonight, I think you can experience that. Two, I think you can experience his peace deeply within your heart as his child. You can believe tonight that no matter what, God loves you, he has plans for you. No matter what, he has what's best in store for you, simply because you are his kid. That's why. Not because you deserve it, because we don't, but because he actually loves you, really loves you. We can trust him, and that can give us peace. We have an opportunity to place our faith in this gracious, powerful God, and in so doing, the overflow of that is that we can deeply love your brother and sister inside of the church, first and foremost, because they're God's kid. We have faith in you, God, and because you are good, we love each other. We can do this. Though there may be times of hardship, endurance, we will have an opportunity to be a cause for joy to other churches in this valley and across the world. And I'm not just saying that, because really the reach of the Rock Church by the grace of God is worldwide. And we can have an opportunity to be a cause for joy for others. So now let me talk about this family meeting. And again, if you're new with us here tonight, we're happy that you're here. You kind of caught us on an interesting weekend, a weekend where God has brought to light some things over the last couple of months, and we truly believe they're good, but they will be hard. And so if this is your first time tonight, come back again next week. It maybe won't feel quite so heavy, but this is good. Past several months, we as pastors have been seeking God's direction on how we might, as a church, grow in our excellence in reaching Utah with the gospel. You guys know Win the Lost and Build the Believer and Send the Sanctified. It's kind of our mission, our vision. How can we grow in this? And so for the past several months, as pastors, we've been really asking God, God, how can we do this better? And in so doing with the pastors, it's led to a number of conversations and lots of different questions. Questions like this: is the current model of our church planting working well? To be able to ask that question. Is it working good? If it is working good, what's good about it? What can be better? We've been asking questions like, is everybody on staff in their right places of gifting? Are they encouraged? Are they flourishing in their faith? Are they growing in Christ? Are they encouraged in the Lord? Of course, there are always times as Christians that we can be discouraged and go through hardships, but overall, is everyone on staff in their right place? Are they encouraged? We've been asking questions like this: as a whole, as a church, are we growing in our faith and in our encouragement and in our grace and in our peace and in our love and in our faithfulness and in our fruitfulness? So we've been asking these questions for the past several months. And as we're asking these questions and seeking the Lord and evaluating these things, we got some surprising news from our landlords in Salt Lake City just a couple of weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, Josh and Mac, you know Josh, you may not know Mac if you've been coming for just a little while, but Steve McEnroy, one of our other pastors, met with our current landlords who own downtown the Salt Lake City building, the red building, there's a white warehouse, and they own some other properties around there as well. They're relatively new landlords. They've bought that space. We signed a 5-year lease with those guys, and they just informed Josh and Mac that in a matter of 8 months, they're tearing the building down. And so in addition to this, and along with the pastors and the staff, posing these kinds of questions of how we can grow. Many of you may not know, some of you may know, I also took a six-week sabbatical as a pastor, where I had to quiet my heart, I had to hear from the Lord in real and specific ways in regard to my own life. I am very happy and probably eager to share with you in more detail what specifically the Lord has taught me through that time, one-on-one, incredibly encouraging, incredibly revealing, but I don't have time to do that tonight because I would bore you with all the things God taught my heart, but I would love to share with you at a different time. All that to say, with the posing of these questions, how can we grow? With the new news of the demoing of our building, with the countless hours of prayer, we have decided to make a pretty drastic move. We want to fold our Salt Lake City location church into our Draper location. It's a big change. It's a big move. Draper, for some of you may not know this, it is bursting at the seams with new people. I mean, it's bursting at the seams. I've been there several times. Bill and Mac, who are the pastors from the Draper location, have been talking about for some time about starting a new Saturday night service at the Draper location. And so when these things were happening and we were having these conversations and the things that were going on with my sabbatical and then the news of the demoing of the building, it's like, God, you are moving here. And Bill and Mac saying, you know, we were going to start a new Saturday night service anyway because this church is bursting at the seam. What if we bring the Salt Lake City location to Draper and they start a Salt Lake or start a Saturday night location? They could go to other services, but that's a possibility. Let me explain these details in a second. Though this news for many of you, maybe not all, but many of you, including me, is tremendously difficult. Personally, for me, very hard. We genuinely believe that though it is hard, though it is shocking, though it is change, though it needs endurance, it will result in tremendous good. So let me talk to you just about a couple of these things. Of course we should be grieving. Of course we can talk about the sad things. Of course it doesn't mean that the last 13 years have been all for nothing because most of you came from that building. God has been on the move for many, many years. God is moving. It is sad. It is hard. It is change. It requires faith and grace and peace and love. But there are good things too. And as a body that's a part of the Rock Church whole, some things that you should be encouraged about when we think about the sad news, let's look at Christ. Let's see what he can teach us. The first thing is this. The first thing is we can roughly free up $120,000 a year to be used for greater reach for the gospel in Utah. That's how much it costs just to keep those lights on and that building open. Now, we don't know for certain, but imagine what we could do with $120,000 in just 1 year. I mean, imagine how many Compassion Kids we could sponsor. Imagine how influential we might be able to be in the city or in West Valley. Imagine how the finances could be used beyond just keeping the doors open and the lights on in the facility. Maybe we can hire some different staff because we're already understaffed no matter what. $120,000 a year, just a year, freed. God can free that up. Two, we can do this. We can take a much closer look at how we are positioned as a staff. And then we can make efforts to place people into their clearer areas of gifting. And the reason that's important is so that we can make sure that for the long-term haul, okay, well, your kids are, and their kids are still going to the Rock Churches, it's important to look at our staff and go, how can we be more excellent? How can this be more sustainable? So we can look at our staff in a very close look because so often we're just so busy doing stuff, which is good, we're all just kind of wearing 15 different hats. And so now we can look at it and go, okay, what can we do to get better? For example, when we move, though I will still be a pastor, my primary role is going to go back to what it used to be many years ago of leading music and the rock music and playing more worship, which I personally am fracking stoked about. I'll still be a pastor, but to be able to play more music, oh my goodness, it's like Christmas time with chocolate. The other pastors were talking about, how can we grow as a staff? What does that mean for them? Here's what it means for our Salt Lake City location and something you can be encouraged about, something you can help them with too. Going to the Draper location for the Salt Lake City folks, those of them who have been leading and serving for years and years and years and years, who are bone tired, we'll be able to come to a new place for rest and refreshment, to get a time of rest. Lots of you guys know how crazy downtown is. Since you've left, way crazier. We took out the normal when we took out Josh. Just kidding. And all of you. God knows what's up. But here's the deal. We've been burning. Some of us have been bone tired. What this means when we look at our Salt Lake City Saints is, guys, it is hard. It is sad. God is on the move. We need to be enduring. We need to be looking at Him for peace and grace and strength and love and faith. But listen, you can go and get some rest. Just go be for a while. Let the Word of God just kind of soak over you. Also, it means this. For some people, there are going to be new opportunities to serve at our Salt Lake City location. Because some people in that location haven't had a chance yet to lead maybe a small group or serve in another area of need. And for some of those folks, we're going to say, listen, you are welcome to come and serve at this Draper location, at this new service, or one of the other services. It's true, it really is true, that the Draper location is bursting with new people. It means that we could use some of those folks. And in Draper, they run small groups differently than we do in Salt Lake City. They have what's called a free market small group. What that means is a person can come and say, you know what, I'm excited about Jesus, but I also like biking. I'm going to lead a biking small group. Some people maybe want to do like a cooking small group and pray, or an end time small group, or study through the book of the Bible. Or maybe there's dudes in our Salt Lake City location that are like, you know what, I'm super passionate about men's Bible studies. I want to lead a dude's breakfast. Or maybe there's women who are like, you know what, I really want to be a part of women's ministries. And like I mentioned, if people are burned out and they're tired, they can come and get rest. But some people right now in our Salt Lake City location are lit up to be able to do something different and have new opportunities to serve. So the folding of the location can mean this. It's new opportunities. Here's the other thing. People are going to have more opportunities to meet new people. That is real. The Draper location, you know, lots of us have a thought of what Sandy used to look like. It's very, very different now. The Draper location is truly multi-generational. There are young people there, old people there, married people there, single people there, parents there, children there, empty nesters there, students, career-minded folks. You name it, they have it. These people are going to have more opportunities to meet new people, and that's going to be good. Good for them and good for others, because we're the light and the salt of the world, and when we put our faith in Jesus, we love each other more. More opportunities for that. And what this means for the Salt Lake City location is that they are going to have an opportunity to bless the Draper location. That really is true. Some of the folks from Salt Lake City are going to be blessed by the people at our Salt Lake City campus going to Draper. Draper is going to be blessed by their unique understanding of their gifts, the unique understanding of Salt Lake City as a whole. They're going to be blessed by the experiences that some of the saints in Salt Lake City have gone through. They're going to be blessed by their endurance, by their genuine faith, by their faithfulness through the years, by their love. So the Draper church is going to see an influx of 200 people from Salt Lake City, and they're going to be like, oh, this is amazing. They're going to be blessed by that. Likewise, the Draper location is going to have an opportunity to bless Salt Lake City. That's the way it works. Because when we put our faith in Jesus, we love each other more. That's a real thing. These are all things that just came off the top of my head. Here's probably the most important thing, though, for me. And I think really honestly for the church. Is I think that with the closing of the Salt Lake City building and it being demoed and all the things that are happening and us moving back to the Draper location, what I think more than anything, maybe more than ever, people are going to have an opportunity to truly seek the Lord concerning how they personally should proceed moving forward. What that means is that some people in our church are going to seek the Lord as to whether or not they want to use this as an opportunity to walk in God's grace to go to a new church. And it goes without saying that, of course, being a Rock Church family, like Brian was mentioning, we are a family, we love each other, we want everybody to just kind of stick together. We like the way we do life, but people need to seek Jesus, and they need to draw their own conclusions. They need to go to the Lord and say, God, what does this mean for me? I'm excited about what you're doing, and though it is really hard, we do have faith, but Lord, I'm here standing before you. Lead me. What's your grace lead me to? Some people are going to need to decide and seek Jesus on their own about whether or not we've been doing Saturday night church for 13 years. Some people now are not as young as they used to be. And now they have a bunch of babies and responsibilities. And so maybe they're going to say, we're totally with the Rock Church. We're super excited about it. But now we want to go to the 9:30 Sunday morning service or the 11:15 because my baby takes a nap at 1 and there's grace there. They're going to need to seek the Lord and see what they want to do, how God leads them. Some people are going to be super excited, or they need to decide, hey, is Saturday night what I want to continue to do? But people need to seek Jesus. And we are, God is, drawing like this line. He's so gracious and kind. He's like, listen, I've brought to light some things that are happening in your church. I've responded inside of the lives of these pastors. I'm ripping down the building. Seek me. Seek me. The pastors have a plan. We have an idea. We got some. We could come to Draper. Maybe we'll try this Saturday night thing. This could be good. It's got a lot of good potential. But Jesus ultimately says, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me, and I will lead you. And here's the best part, honestly. When we seek Jesus, when we are looking to him and his grace, placing our faith in him, when that is real, no matter what, you won't fail. That is a weird truth that I'm starting to realize. I mean, I've been preaching that truth for 10 years. But in my own life, wait a second. Wait. My eyes are on you. It won't fail. What a gift that people can have, that you can even have. Some people are going to come here, by the way. Praise Jesus. Praise God. They might come to this location. Boom! Wouldn't make my heart happier if they seek the Lord. Don't coerce them. Ask them to pray. I'm serious. Listen, I know how it goes. When you guys planted, don't think that I wasn't like, no, don't, please go. Dang it, they went. You stay? Hey, stay! I know how you are. I know how I am. Listen, do this. You are welcome. Pray. We'd love you. Pray. Seek Jesus. Listen, just seek Jesus. You're not going to fail. So here's the plan. Our current plan then is to ask each person in Salt Lake City, then to seek Jesus, pray, get some advice, draw their own conclusions for themselves, for their faith, for their family, and then we're going to say, listen, we want to know a decision. In a couple of weeks, we want to be talking about this. A couple of months, we want to be talking about this. You're seeking the Lord. You're praying. As pastors, how can we help you? I want people to seek and pray. And we're planning on, and you guys are welcome to come to this, and you probably should. Our last Saturday night service is on September 10th. It's coming up pretty quick, right after the camp out. It's going to be a time of celebration of what God has done in the last 13 years. It's going to be a time of celebration of what God plans on doing. It's also going to be pretty sad, a time to grieve. Because though it is a new beginning, and that's exciting, and we have opportunities for faith, and that's amazing, it's also a little sad. And so we want to trust the Lord, and we want to grieve well. And after that service, what we're going to do for our Salt Lake City folks, that's on September 10th. I can't believe I'm a pastor and I'm going to say this to everybody, but is we're going to cancel church in Salt Lake City for 2 weeks. Just don't come to church. No, not here anyway. We're going to point people to maybe check out this service or point people to check out the Draper service or maybe just go hang out with their spouse or their friends and be encouraged and refreshed and seek the Lord. We're going to stop it on the 10th so that there's a couple of weeks without the clutteriness. Go where God is leading you. You're welcome to come. We want you to come. Come. But seek the Lord first. And then our plan, as of now, is to launch a new Saturday night service at the Draper location on October 1st. Sunday morning in Draper is going to be encourage those services to decide whether or not this is an opportunity for them to be a part of a new service. So Sunday's going to be involved in well as well. So this is important to know. It is not going to be a Salt Lake service on Saturday night in Draper exclusively. It's going to be an additional service to our Draper location. It's going to build this unique opportunity for church oneness. There's going to be more cohesiveness. It's going to be more of just like this is another service that we have in Draper Saturday night. I want to read this. Josh sent this out to our leaders in Salt Lake City because we had a meeting a week ago. So most of you probably have heard this news already. But we had a meeting a week ago with our core. And after that meeting where we kind of explained with all the pastors, this is what's happening, Josh wrote this to them and I appreciated this. He said this: "Good afternoon, Salt Lake City Saints. As your pastors, we appreciated you taking time out of your Saturday morning to hear how God has been leading us over the last couple of months. The meeting was hard, but good." Josh said, "I have personally had a number of conversations with some of you over the last few days. I've appreciated your tears, the working through of your emotions, and the faith that's being demonstrated. This is a big deal for the Salt Lake City location. God has done a mighty work there for the last 13 years, and God will continue to move in the future. But there is grieving in the closing of this chapter. Ultimately, over the course of the past 2 months, God led the pastors to a unanimous decision to merge the Salt Lake City location into the Draper location and launch a Saturday night service in the fall. There were many hours of talking and seeking counsel and praying. Josh said, I take a lot of peace in the fact that God brought the pastors, which he did, to a place of unity in this decision. There were lots of pros, he said, and cons for the different options, which is true. And Josh mentioned, and this is true of me, I would be happy to talk to any individual about our thought process. He said this: you are the leaders and the core of the Salt Lake City location, and many of you guys have close relationships with those that are there. I appreciated this. Josh says, we invite all of you to really seek God's heart on your personal involvement. We are a family, so obviously we want all of you to become the nucleus of a new Saturday night Draper service. Each one of you is invited to be a part of this new initiative, but God interacts with us both corporately and individually. So we also understand that God sometimes uses changes like this to lead us in a new direction. With that said, you need to hear that there is total freedom in the Lord to seek God's will on this. Maybe he wants you to switch locations or services or even churches. We would love to talk to you about how God is leading you and what you are considering. If some of you decide to leave, as much as we would miss you, we understand that God also leads his children individually. We want to be a part of this process with you. Saturday morning was a lot to process, he mentioned. Please pray, seek counsel, ask questions, talk to your pastors, and make some decisions in faith. Because honestly, at the end of the day, all that matters is faith expressing itself in love, which is what we learned about tonight. I would be happy to talk to any of you, he said, personally, as would any of the pastors of The Rock. One thing you guys should know is that our heart, of course, is not to ask people to go to another church. We are a family. But you should also know this. I've already had a couple of conversations, not a lot, but a few, where God has moved in the hearts of some of the people in Salt Lake City where they said, listen, God has been moving in my heart for a little while, and I think this might be an opportunity for me to try a new church. And here's our response. Praise the Lord. When you decide, let us know. I'll pick up the phone and call the pastors and tell them you're coming. Because what a blessing you will be. Can you imagine? The Rock Church folks that have been there for 10 years going to another church, the quality of saint that is, the gift to the valley, to be able to say, hey, this man, this woman prayed, really prayed and sought the Lord, and they led them to you. Praise God. Blessed are you to have them in your church. I release them to your care. That's what we'll do. The rest of us, we're going to come to Draper. We're going to help you. That means if you go to 9:30, we're going to help you. All that go to 9:30, you go there. All that go to 11:15, you go here. All that are going to Saturday night, you go here. We're going to help you stay together in a family. If you go west, we'll help you too. It's a change. It's super hard. Really, really hard. But when we're looking at the Lord, guys, we're just kids, really. Really. We're just holding on to these things. Lord, you... This is your church. I release your church to you. You're the shepherd. We're just following you. And so tonight, you guys might have lots of questions, and that's okay. And as pastors, we want to be available for you. We can answer questions in the best way we know how. We may not know the answers yet, because honestly, guys, this is not like what we've done in the past. In the past, we've had like a vision. We're going to plant a church. We're going to do this. We're going to have this program. We're going to do this initiative. It's really super awesome. Get excited, and God is leading. Woohoo! And so everybody can rally really quickly. This is more like, whoa, we are responding to the things that God has brought to light. This is a change. We're reacting along with you in faith. These are some ideas. We don't know all the answers yet, but we're here with Jesus and we're going to help you. So our hearts would be to be available for you. I would ask you guys, as the West Valley location, please pray for the Salt Lake City Saints. Please pray for peace for them. It's going to be very hard. When you left, they stayed to plug away, to hit the ground. God has used them. Lots of baptisms, lots of salvations in the last 18 months. God has done good things. But I also know that God is moving. It can feel very hard. Please pray for your brothers and sisters. Help them to be an encouragement to you. Does that make sense? When they're enduring suffering and hardships, they have an opportunity in Salt Lake City to be boasted about to you. They did this so good. Help them. Pray for them. Be their friend. Love them. I'm going to pray. We're going to hang out. Lord, thanks for tonight. Thank you that it is real. Your word is awesome. It's so awesome. Lord, tonight we learned in 4 verses ways that we can actually apply them really in our hearts tonight. We want to know your grace because your grace and your strength and your freedom and your salvation leads to peace, that you have a plan, that we can place our faith in your plan, that you, God, are on your throne, that you, God, are in control no matter what. And God, when we know that, we can love each other. We don't have to fight for each other. We don't have to fight over each other. We don't have to accuse each other. We don't have to blame. We can love. You've freed us up to love. That's what you've done. And Lord, our eyes are on you because we don't understand everything. We don't, God, in some ways we are just like, it's an opportunity for the pastors to be humble. We just are trying, God, to follow you. Lead us. Jesus, lead us for your glory. I ask, God, just personally, as your son, that this would be a time in the history of the Rock churches that somehow would just be a turning point for your gospel. Somehow, you can do that. I don't know what you're doing. But Lord, we can look back. Maybe could we just ask that we would look back at this time in history? September 10th, the last of one chapter, be the beginning of a new revelation and a new redemption that's happening in our valley. Show us how to do this, God. Show us how to keep our eyes on you. And we offer you in the best way we know how, our faith. Thank you for this church. Thank you, Lord, that what this means for the West Valley location is that they just keep going. They keep plowing ground. They keep camping together. They keep doing Sunday fun day. They keep doing every man's Monday. They keep doing ladies' nights. They keep doing Bible studies. They keep on keeping on because you've made it clear that they should. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, thank you that it's not a competition. Thank you, Lord, that it's not a failure. We're a family. We rejoice and we mourn and we pray and we grieve. And one day you're going to take us home. Lord, thank you that if there are new people here tonight, I pray that they would know it is real that we take each other seriously as a family, as a brother and sister. We love Jesus. We love people. We love burritos. We love music. We love coffee. But God, we take each other seriously in the Lord. And if they're here tonight and they're looking for a family, help them to look no more. Right here. Help them to find it. We commit this time and our churches to you. In your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.